Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
The love of Jesus has changed my life. I've seen His beauty and heard His word.
Highways into the byways and proclaim your holy name, because you are worthy, so worthy of all of our praise. We magnify you tonight, O God, because you are awesome. And we praise you, O God, because you deserve it. Even now, O God, in the midst of all the issues and all the problems of our world, we know that all things work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Help us tonight and every night to be the called, to be the ones that are pursuing you, to be able to just bombard heaven with adoration, that you will know that we are your people and you will remind us that you are our God. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. My beloved, my God, my God, my God, my God. Welcome to Adoration on the When Christians Speak Talk Radio Network. I am your host, Evangelist Mac, and I gotta tell you, just starting out, that this is a very, very special evening for me, because I have cheated on you guys in a small little way, because they just had the audacity to show me some things technically that I could actually pre-record, broadcast, and be able to have those already in the queue and ready to go out to you every third Monday of the month. But you know what? This time around, I just wanted to hang out with you live as we used to do. And so everything, we're just trusting God even right now for the technology. We're trusting him that everything that is being said today, that's being shared today, will be from his mind through me to you, that you would hear the word of God, and that the word of God, along with Christ Jesus, will make you free. I am so excited. Let's just get right into it. There are some incredible things that are taking place in our world right now. I mean, in the midst of the current pandemic, which we're starting to see some small little signs of coming out of it, but you know we have a long way to go. In comes a subject that I have been very hesitant to deal with because it truly affects me on a personal level, and I'm going to go ahead and share it because God has given me something to say about this subject in the midst of the many demonstrations that are due to recent activity based upon racial injustice, racial profiling, and all types of protests, whether they be peaceful or violent or riotous. It is all happening in our world right now. And I've got to tell you, as someone who was alive in the early 60s, who came of age in the 70s and began to really mirror the era of my time, this is remarkable what we are witnessing, what is being demonstrated, what's being displayed. I would have never thought that it would come back to this, because honestly, if I were to not be aware of the difference in time, I can barely tell the difference between what's happening now in 2020 and what was happening in the late 60s into the 70s. And so I want to talk about that, because when we're here on adoration, we always want to keep the focus on Christ and our adoration towards Him. And so how do you take this current atmosphere and how do you share the love of Christ when there is so much animosity, so much hatred, so much bigotry, racism, again, profiling, and all types of commentary that is coming in all different kinds of directions? And unlike back in the day, when I was a young man, these days the news travels very fast. And so literally in seconds, people can put out opinions about everything, and we have to really be careful about the things that we are ingesting, and also the groups, movements, or activities that we align ourselves with, because we need to make sure that our witness and our dedication and allegiance to Christ is not compromised. And so I've been thinking about how to approach all these things, because, you know, there's so many people that are out there pontificating and, you know, saying all types of things in all different types of circles and all different types of directions. And messages are just blending all over the place, and it's basically so confusing that no one's really dealing with the real issue, and that is our morality and our dedication to the one who made us. And so I want to take an opportunity right now to, first of all, share the title of our program tonight, which is called Unapologetically Black, Unapologetically Saved. And I was sitting at my computer one day, and that title just popped into my head, and I began to ask God, can I, as a Christian, reconcile my identity with the black culture to my identity with salvation and with Christ? And praise be unto God, I believe that I can, without compromising the more important issue, and that is definitely my unapologetically stance for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let me just start off with my recollection of how my youth was spent. And so up until the age of 6 or 7, I had no idea about anything related to race. As far as I knew, I was truly color blind, because I just didn't care. I didn't really see it. I know that I was around people of different nationalities, different cultures, because my parents were very social, but I never ever thought about anyone being different until coming of age moment, which again was around the age of 6 or 7. And I was with my father at our local Sears. If y'all don't know Sears, Sears and Roebuck department store, where we spent a lot of time in that store for all types of things, because if you know about Sears, you know that before there was a Kmart or a Walmart, there was Sears. And Sears had everything from, you know, lawn equipment to patio furniture to clothes to jewelry. I mean, it was really a one stop for everything that you could desire. And my family, my father in particular, made that ride from our house and all the way to Silver Spring, Maryland, which was about 15 minutes. And we would just hang out in that store. Well, on a particular day where I'm with my dad, somehow or another, I kind of went ahead of him as we were getting ready to exit the store. And being young and really not being aware of my surroundings, I believe I was playing in the aisle of the store as, towards the exit. And I wasn't really considering anyone. I wasn't being mischievous on purpose. I was just being a kid. And a gentleman entered the store, and I have to identify this so that you can understand where I'm coming from. A white gentleman entered in, well-dressed, and he was coming in as we were exiting the store, and I got in his way and blocked his entrance in because of my playing around and just being, you know, being a child. And what happened next changed everything for me. And if I sound like I'm having a little bit of a struggle actually telling this, it's because this brings up some really, really deep feelings that I've had, that I've carried up until this very day. But anyway, let me continue. So the gentleman called me the N-word, and the N-word meant nothing to me. However, the look that I saw on my father's face told a story that I will never, ever forget. And I can tell you that as a normal child, my father disciplined me. He didn't have to do it often because when he did it, he made it count, and I understood that he was the man, and I was not too often disobedient in his presence. But what I saw on that day was beyond any kind of anger that I ever experienced from him, and in fact, I can truthfully say that I've never seen him look this way ever since. But what I do know is that I think that everything in him that was attached to discrimination, to the civil rights movement, to the way that he must have felt coming back from his tour of Korea and being still treated as less than a human being and definitely less than a man. And I saw all of that on his face. And honestly, I thought that he was going to kill that man right in the Sears. And at that point, my memory blacks out. I don't know what happened, but what my father told me years later is that he said, "Son, you saved that man that day because you pleaded with me not to hurt him." And I guess I started to kind of laugh because I said, "Wow, is this how God was preparing me for the ministry of reconciliation?" I don't know. I don't know, guys, but what I do know is that after that encounter, I looked at everything differently. And look, the reason that I'm sharing this tonight is because in this age where people are out protesting for rights and for just the privilege and honor of just being treated as human beings, before I could get upset with any other particular people, no matter what race, creed, or color, I had to look at my own history and then consider, am I just as guilty as they were? And I've got to tell you, beloved, the answer was yes. So let me explain it. So after that encounter, I became super, super, super pro-black. Hence the title, at least the first part of the title, Unapologetically Black. So for me, being a young teenager in the 70s, I listened to a lot of James Brown, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. I listened to a lot of Gil Scott Heron. One of the biggest songs is The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. Anybody that's out there that understands that music and that time will know exactly what I'm talking about. The imagery that I looked at as being successful was that of, you know, the Black Panther Party, and looking specifically to people like Angela Davis and how she would rock her afro, and all of these things made an impression. In fact, the whole atmosphere of that time where black people seemed to be embracing their African heritage. You know, I joke around, but, you know, I watched a lot of Soul Train, and on Soul Train, never before had I seen just people of color just dancing and being free on public TV and displaying our culture unashamedly and, in fact, unapologetically. And into that, all of a sudden, I would hear things like, beautiful people use Afro Sheen. And I was like, this is my people. This is my culture. And I embraced it. But not only did I embrace that, but I embraced the terrorism and the hostility, the rage, and the anger that was coming out of the, quote, movement. And so, for me, it justified an attitude that it was us against them, black against white. And it changed my whole perspective, because I just remember back to when I heard that N-word, and then, subsequently heard it over and over and over and over again. And so I can tell you, even now, for me personally, I can't even understand why people of color even use that terminology to identify ourselves. I will never understand it. However, what I'm trying to share with you is that the moment that I made the decision to totally just hate my Caucasian brothers and sisters was the day that I lost focus in the very essence of the gospel message, understanding that God is not a respecter of persons. Didn't understand that concept. What I saw were images of Emmett Till. What I saw were black bodies hanging off of trees. What I saw and what I heard were music from Billie Holiday talking about strange fruit and understanding what that meant. And, you know, hear Sam Cooke singing Change Gonna Come. I could not escape that because I had no other outlet in order to consider a different process, a different avenue, a different way of being able to not only live my life, but a different in order to treat other people. Beloved, I implore you, I encourage you that Jesus, as the songwriter says, he is the answer for the world today. And I want to explain that to you because I could talk for hours and hours and hours about being unapologetically black, but I can talk for centuries and eons about being unapologetically saved. And I can tell you right now that if someone came up to me and asked me who I was aligned with, I could say without hesitation that I am a child of the Most High God. His name is Jehovah, and I believe that he is the true and living God, and he gave us a precious gift in the form of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ came to us to seek and to save that which was lost. And beloved, I was truly lost. So let me tell you, and I think I've probably told this to you before in previous broadcasts, but I came into my salvation of all places in Richmond, Virginia, more years ago than I could really, actually, I can tell you the year, 1991. And of all things, it was at an Amway convention where they did a Sunday service, and I can say these things because I am not ashamed and to give testimony to those that helped me get to where I am now. There was a man, anybody in Amway would know him. His name was Bill Britt. We used to call him Big Bill Britt. And Bill Britt had a Sunday devotional, and I didn't go there to deal with a Sunday devotional. I was truly anti-Christ at that point. But Bill Britt stood up there with his conviction and was unapologetically saved. And you know what? Because he was unapologetically saved, and if I may, just for purposes of really understanding this, Bill Britt is white. And so when he made that proclamation of his faith, I found myself similar to what we used to watch on the Billy Graham Crusades, just getting out of my chair and walking down to the front and committing my life to Christ. And I knew that it was something that was supernatural and out-of-body experience of the best kind, because there were things that were going on inside of me that I had never experienced again. What I now know, I was having my own personal Pentecost experience right there in the Richmond Coliseum, and I was on fire for the Lord, and I didn't even know who the Lord was yet. Praise be to God. So then it becomes this issue. Now I am a servant of Christ. I am a minister of reconciliation. And that is important for us to understand, beloved, because before we're anything else in our Christian experience, we have to understand that God has already given us an assignment that is beyond being an evangelist or a prophet or a teacher or a preacher. He has, or apostle, let me not leave that out. He has given all of us, no matter how young, no matter how old, the ministry of reconciliation. And reconciliation just means that you simply have to put back something where it originally was supposed to be. And we know that when we are outside of Christ, we are aliens to God, and we need to be reconciled so that we can be part of the family of faith. Now, I didn't get all that on that day in 1991 when Bill Britt stood up there and gave the call of salvation, and I said, "Here I am, save me." No, I didn't get it. This has been a process from 1991 to this very day. And it is still a process. It will never end until we are in glory, being in the household of faith with our Savior. So I'm bringing this up because for the past few weeks, the Lord has had me in one section of Scripture. I can't seem to escape from it, and I don't want to escape from it. I have used this Scripture to talk about the love of Christ controls us. I have used it to talk about some other issues related to the current circumstances in our world, and I have used it as a means to explain the fact that if we are in Christ, we are new creations. And if we're doing anything that is outside of this transformative experience that we have with Christ, then we have to consider, have we actually been transformed? And I can tell you, the process from 1991 to this very day has been very difficult. And this subject tonight, beloved, I'm telling you, this one was a hard one for me because, as you probably know, I am a black male, and I have seen, just as you have seen, that black men in particular seem to be the target for so much hate. And I don't want to leave the sisters out either, because they carry even more of a burden in many cases, because they have the double whammy of not only being a person of color, but also they deal with gender issues that men simply don't deal with. So let me pause right here, because in the midst of what has happened concerning George Floyd and so many others, I won't get into a whole bunch of names, but in the midst of this, the question becomes, beloved, how do we as Christians represent Christ and not forsake who we are in this world and in our experiences? And I believe that there is a common ground, that we can be unapologetically black and unapologetically saved. But we need to understand, again, the priority is being unapologetically saved. So let me explain. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. I'm just going to go ahead and read this. It says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, It is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, I need to say that again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Beloved, I got to tell you, every time I read this, I just see more and more and more and more. And it addresses so many things that I had to personally deal with, and maybe you out there have had to deal with as well. And I started to do an evaluation of my life as I was coming into my understanding of the things of God and going out there and witnessing for Christ. And, you know, many of you know my story that, you know, I started out right on the street doing street ministry, doing all types of outreach, going into halfway houses, prisons, and, you know, that extended into going around the different places in country, and then, of course, going international, and I'm still on an international ministry to this very day. But in the midst of that, everything that I've come to understand has come through the process of my relationship with Christ. And I want to be very careful as I say what I'm getting ready to say. So hear me out and prayerfully hear my heart with this. We can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and we can even memorize it. But that does not mean that after reading it and memorizing it, that we have any concept about who God is, and most importantly, who Christ is to us, and what reconciliation is to mankind. And I usually explain this, and I'm going to put my wife out there because I use her in this example. Many of you know that I'm recently married, and when I say recently, I'm talking about a little over 3 years now. I've been married to a wonderful, beautiful woman of faith by the name of Myra. And I was having a chat with someone one day, And I was talking about this thing about, you know, reading the Bible and how I could spend hours upon hours meditating sometimes on one verse or one section of scripture, and I can't really leave it, similar to what I'm doing tonight, because I tell you, beloved, I have been in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 11 through 21 for at least 3 weeks, and I have not left that passage. So anyway, to make my point, I use my marriage to Myra as the example, because I tell you that I could read a book about Myra, and it could have all the vital statistics in that book. And that's good, because I do need to understand her from an intellectual perspective. In other words, I do need to know certain basic facts about her, you know, her birthday, you know, favorite color, this or that. But because I have been in a committed love relationship with this beautiful woman for over 3 years, I have come to know some things that could never be shared in that book. And why am I saying this now? Because when I read this passage out of 2 Corinthians, I can read it and I can read the words, but it's because of my relationship with Christ that I can see and understand the words more clearly, and I have a deeper understanding, not just about what is being professed here, but about the very nature of our Savior and why it is so important that of all the offices or all the positions that he could have bestowed upon us, he told us that we need to be ministers of reconciliation. I begin to think about, you know, how it talks about someone having 100 sheep and 99 staying in the sheepfold, but that one sheep leaves out, and the shepherd has to go. He's compelled to go to grab that sheep which was lost and bring him back home. And so this is what we're about. We are in a world right now that is divided, where we are using the lines of race, the lines of gender, the lines of social status, of economics, in order to create this divide that is a ploy of the adversary to divide and conquer. And we who are of the faith, who are possibly being influenced by the movements of this world and connecting to things that may not be for your good, we need to slow down and consider, are we being ambassadors for Christ in the things that we do? That is a big question. And beloved, let me tell you, as one who's had to deal with this firsthand, because I'm telling you, I understand where that rage, where that hatred, where that disappointment, where that frustration, believe me, I understand where it comes from, because I too have been victimized by it. I have not been immune from it, but I cannot allow the negativity of any one culture or anything dissuade me from the ultimate prize for our calling, which is in Christ Jesus. I cannot take my eye off the prize, because the prize does not care about what we look like or what nationality we are. He looks at us and he just sees us as his people. I don't know if this is making sense to you tonight, but in the midst of that, I begin to think about it, because there's so many things that I love about the history of my particular race. I do. I love what we have brought to the table of this world. I love the way that we think, the way that we do things, the way that we stylize ourselves. It is absolutely unique to the world, and I don't believe that we have to lose that when we accept Christ into our hearts. In fact, I believe that we can use our experiences as being unapologetically black to even be more unapologetically saved. And I thought about it using the Apostle Paul, because as you know, Paul got to a point in his life where he looked at his situation, he looked back over his life, and he thought some things over, and he remembered that he was born a Jew. He remembered that not only was he a Pharisee, but he was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was the top man. He was all that. He knew where he came from. He knew that he had persecuted Christians, and he thought he had done it because he was being obedient to God, until he had that experience on the Damascus Road. And I'm telling you, my experience of the Damascus Road was Big Bill Britt standing up there proclaiming the gospel, and I received it. And my life has never been the same since. And I had to put away the anger that I brought to this new life, and I had to let that anger go. I had to die to it. Why am I saying this? Because the love of Christ constrains us or controls us. I can't be a slave even to my heritage anymore. I can take the best of it, and I can share that with the world through my faith. I can be unapologetically black, and I can be unapologetically saved, and I know my priorities and salvation and Christ and the kingdom will always be my priority. I can say that now with confidence, beloved. And yes, I hurt when I read account after account of afflictions and persecutions, not just of people that are black, but all people who are being persecuted. Even to us as Christians who take the oath that we accept the persecution, understanding that we are not persecuted any longer because of who we are. We are persecuted, for who he is. And if we understand that, then we can go into our current life and our current experiences and be a little slower in the things that we promote on social media, the things that we say, like I'm speaking now. We can be careful about just being in such an emotional state that we just blurt out the first thing that comes up, and once it's out there, you can't get it back. The technology has it set up that even if you delete it, it's there. Ask all the people that try to run for offices and then something in their past comes back to haunt them. So it's there. Well, the beautiful thing about it, beloved, is when it comes to the issues of Christ, when we become this new creation, all the old is passed away. Even God, he does not look at who we were. He now sees us through the blood stain of Christ, and he sees us in who we will become, and we should be heirs to the throne of his grace. That is all that we should be concerned about. Yes, it is horrible to see people that are going through all these things. My heart, believe me, beloved, my heart cries out to all those who have been unjustly the afflictors that they have to go through so much hate because of the nature of this world. Where is the love? Where is the ministry of reconciliation? Who are we really being controlled by? These are the things I had to consider myself, because again, I'm not using this platform to say I'm all good over here and y'all got problems. No, beloved, I'm not saying that at all, because at one point I was the same way. In my day, we didn't have Twitter. We didn't have Instagram. We didn't have all these things in order to get the message out so fast. But it doesn't make it any more irrelevant. Understand what I'm trying to say, because I'm saying this truly, 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 truly from the depths of my heart to yours. We have to be above the fray. We have to know that we stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The love of Christ constrains us because He died for all. And guess what? We too have to go through a death. Not necessarily a physical death, but a death of our own ambitions, our own selfishness, our own issues and isms and schisms. We have to die to anxiety, depression. We have to die to immorality. We have to die to apostasy. We have to die to all those things that are anti-Christ, that we may live, and that we may then begin to show others this ministry of reconciliation that is so beautiful, that is so incredible. Imagine, just imagine being able to have a conversation with someone who is lost and who is trying their best to understand why things are happening the way they're happening. Imagine being at peace with who you are in Christ, and even as a human being, to be able to lovingly counsel that person, to be able to share the very love of Christ with someone else that, as Christ God, as the scripture says, is reconciled unto Himself, then we too need to be reconciled unto Christ. And so our job is to go into the highways and the byways and to reach out and share the good news of Jesus Christ in the midst of pandemics, in the midst of all types of political atrocities, in the midst of this stirred up racial conflict. We need to represent Jesus Christ, to be the salt of the earth, to give this earth its flavor. In doing so, our allegiance is with God. Beloved, there's so much more I could say, but I'm going to wrap it up right here. I pray that you have heard the things that I've shared. I pray that you meditate on it. I pray that we all go to our own closets, our secret place, where we can abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and we can just have a relationship with our Maker, where He can swap out any of the anger, any of the pain, any of the unrest and replace it with love and peace and joy. It took me a long time to get there, and sometimes I got to be reminded, I'm not going to lie to you, we are all human beings. I am not putting myself on any kind of pedestal, but I beseech you, I beg you that the things that the world is going to promote are not necessarily the things that Christ would want us to do. He has given us the Bible as the living example of what we should do, how we should be, how we should love, and how we should care for others. I pray that you've been blessed. And even now, I just want to go into prayer as we close out. Oh, Father God, thank you. I'm so caught up right now, God, but I thank you. You've been so good to me, and I thank you. I'm praying for others out there, and I thank you. For all those that are struggling, all those that just feel like they're not being heard, I thank you. For those that are trying their best and just don't know how to get there, I thank you. Because you've given us an avenue, oh God, through your holy word, to be able to touch people where they are and to let them know that there is hope. And that hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Be with us tonight, O God. Love us even in the areas where we are devastated. Comfort us where we need comfort. And, O God, speak into us. And help us share your wisdom, share your anointing, share your heart with us that we may love and reach the nations. We love you and honor and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Beloved, I love you tonight. Again, I pray that there was something that was shared that has benefited you. As we try to expand this ministry, know that Adoration is out there on YouTube. So if you want to check out what's being talked about tonight or any of the audio and other video presentations that we've been doing over the past 4 years, just go to YouTube and subscribe to Adoration Talk Radio. And please comment and share in your network. Again, love you much. God bless you, and good night.